Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 113, and sadly we're out of the pub and get back out of the pub, get into the pub, we're back out of the pub, and we're doing it on whatever we're doing it on, a Joel Glazer Zoom with Shane, Nick and Coggy, and Nathan's at the cricket, so I think he might miss it. Firstly, my head's gone. I don't know if any of you have seen it. Vanilla Ice is doing a documentary on the kidnapping of Shergar. And I read it, and I had to Google that it wasn't a wind-up. My head's just gone at that. Vanilla Ice, a.k.a. the singer from the 90s or whenever, is doing a documentary on the kidnapping of Shergar. Right, on that note, firstly, a big thank you to everyone. As with that intro, we talk a lot of shit on this, but it's kept us sane during the past year. All of this is way, way above my pay grade, so I try and struggle to make any sense of it all. But because some people say they like it and enjoy it, it means we keep doing it. So I'd just like to say thanks to everyone who listens, because it means I get to see this lot, even if it's like this, and it's kept me going. So I look forward to these and talking shit. I will really talk shit now for a couple of more minutes. It was supposed to be an eclipse today while I was out there. Didn't see fucking jack shit. But two flies, it was hot, obviously, crashed into my window. And I thought, is that because of the eclipse? Or am I just really badly needing human contact and thinking? But a fly just went into the window. Right, a lot to carry on. I listened back to the last one, and obviously we had a few pints. We were full of bonhomie actually seeing people. Sorry, Shane and Coggy, you were invited. It must have got lost in the post. But I called Ollie a big game bottler, and I was listening, and I think, do I think that's fair? But I said at the time, I think I've got to be honest, and I still feel the same, if I'm honest. It still really hurts, and it's not like, doing it for YouTube, for controversy's sake, because I so repeat ad nauseum, I so want Ollie to succeed, but it's still really in the De Gea. Not, I know it'd have been a massive call, because how often has it happened in a final? But to let him take the penalty, to face the penalty, it just seems, the longer it's gone on, it just hurts a little bit. So I'm not really, I'll ask Nick later about Sancho, because he knows a lot more about him than I do. And I'm not writing it off, but I'm just not yet carried away by next season. Anyway, I got away, me and the family got away, and you might have seen that we went to Old Trafford. It was lovely doing normal things. But to go to Old Trafford, in the mag, there was a lot in this issue, obviously, about the protests, about family and community. And I'm going to write about it, because it covers a lot of things for the next mag. But for those seconds, there was none. There was no tarnishing. There was no glazers. It just, I was transported, and I thought, at this moment will never be taken away, how special I felt. And it wasn't even a match day. It just felt so, and we'll get onto the fans forum later, but we're going to go backwards before we go forwards. So it's only right Shane and Coggy haven't. Sorry, Reds. I know a lot of you don't want to fucking revisit this night, but they deserve to say how they felt. So I'm going to go to Coggy first, mate. Hello, how are you? Happy 61st birthday.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You old bastard.
Just going back to the last podcast, I didn't even know you'd downloaded it, and I put Sky Sports on, and the headlines was Nick Barlow can't defend Ole Gunnar Solskjaer anymore. And I thought, fucking hell, if it's got to that, I've got to listen to that pod. Just picking up on a few things that the lad said, basically. It was a good pod, I enjoyed it. Momentum, I think it was Nathan that spoke about momentum, and of course he's right, but I think the downside of the Liverpool game being postponed was three games in 5 days, and because there's no way you can play the same team for those three games, it meant that you had to swap about too much, and that must have impacted on momentum. And I know it's just that, but I think that, retrospectively, that postponed game did have a major impact on our end of season. But the final itself, I mean, I think I mentioned it, that Terry Gibson had said, look, they've got two brilliant centre-halves who have played top of the form. They've got a midfield of four that play narrow, and they've got a striker who's second-best scorer in La Liga, and they'll probably score from a set-piece. And they're just to a team, didn't they? They defended deep. They didn't give us any space, and they played for set-pieces and scored from one. And I was just so disappointed with Ollie. Because, you know, Emery made five substitutions in the second half. And what did it take us to make 110 minutes or something, 100 minutes? And I don't know whether he's a big game bottler, but question marks have to be raised about him after that game. And I know Ben and Willow and Shane in particular have said, look, he can take us so far, but is he going to take us to the next level? And sadly, after that game, that's how I think. I think he's taken us as far as he possibly can. The Henderson bit, it doesn't matter whether Henderson's a good penalty stopper or not. I think the very fact he could have brought him on based on De Gea's abysmal record, it would have put doubt in there. And I know it's only been done once before, maybe, by Van Gaal, but I think it would have been an excellent tactic. But I'd switched off by then, not the TV, me personally, because I was that disappointed by the performance. We got back to 1-1, and it just looked as if Ollie was then playing for penalty. His substitute was based on penalty taking, and I'd rather us try to win that game in the second half for an extra time and lost 3-1 than the way we did. So, you know, I'm still gutted about it, to be honest.
I was watching France, and granted, Pogba, with the freedom he's got, the better players he has there, and it was a friendly, so, you know, you can't like for like. But I just thought everything he did for France the other night makes it even more peculiar that we had him so deep in such an important game, because he was running through into the penalty box. And I just thought, there's so many. Before I go to you, sorry, Shane. Coggy, I think, and it's not a bad thing, I think Ollie has to start next season well. You know, like, he needs 25 points out of the first 30 games. That's no bad thing. That's what we should be heading for anyway. But he's under immense pressure of his own making. We can keep saying, oh, the Ollie outers have given him a lot of stick and so many of them are demented. But he's done himself no favours. And I don't want it to be, you know, I'm not going to all summer about. But it's like, it's more than a kick in the bollocks, like it felt the next night and the night after. It feels like a massive backward step.
But do you know something? It's not just Ollie, is it? Because I think it was Nick that mentioned it on the last podcast, that and Emery looked at United 16, 17 times this season. One of the lads mentioned it.
Yeah, Ben.
Was it Ben? And I don't know how many times we have, you know, but you could not look at them a lot. And it's the whole coaching staff. You know, we've suffered with set pieces now for the whole season. Why hasn't that been sorted out? You know, why didn't we bring in a defensive coach? Or, I mean, Liverpool have got a throwing coach, you know, and we failed to sort out our defence. So it's not just Ollie. I think it's the team around him are probably not up to it either.
But that's why I think the immediate thing this summer is important as the three world-class players we need. And he needs to bring someone, whether it's just to shake it up a little bit with experience. I will say we've made progress, though, Coggy, because for about 2 years, Antonio Valencia didn't know how to take a throw-in and he just dunked it down as a fucking... So at least we can take one now. Right, Shane, go on, mate.
I don't think there's a huge lot to say that hasn't been said already, but yeah, obviously it was gutting. And I think it's mostly gutting, and it sounds, without sounding arrogant, you know, you've got to credit Villarreal and Emery, but that trophy was obviously there for the taking. And it just feels as though, you know, quite a simple tactic, but, you know, just to go out and nullify Bruno and to a degree Pogba, but you could argue, as you did, or Coggy did, you know, playing him deep, we've done that ourselves. And it seems to all fall apart. There's no initiative on or off the pitch, really. And I think that's the alarming thing. You know, I'm caught between blaming the players on the pitch. Surely they can take more initiative than they did. But equally, there's nothing on coming from the bench. I think, you know, you touched on it there. I was like, you know, Steve Armstrong, that, you know, used to sell next to you, United we stand. He was, and I think he meant, you know, Ollie's obviously good at some stuff. He's improved as his management's obviously good, but but he needs that coaching staff around him. He's clearly, whoever's talking in his ear on the bench is clearly not talking much wisdom, because so I think he would need to, you know, I think for him to succeed now, he needs to recognise that and realise that he needs something to compensate for that on the bench. I thought we, you know, I was pretty confident, you know, we watched it together, and I was pretty confident, as you know, that particularly once we equalised, I thought it was a bit of an inevitability, and I'm usually quite negative. And I think that 20-minute spell after we scored was key, and we just didn't have enough initiative to break them down. It was a bit depressing. And I know we can criticise him for the subs, but if you look at the bench, it wasn't, like, in a way, he dealt all the cards, hadn't he? All the attacking options are on the pitch. You're not gonna fucking turn around a game to win a game by Fred or Matic, you know. So I do think technically he was short, but equally I didn't think there was an awful lot on the bench that I was looking to come and save the game.
Yeah, can I just say though, and I know Nick in particular brought this up, saying that, you know, he shouldn't have played both Pogba and Rashford because of the options, you know, after. I do agree with him, but not for that reason. Look, Ahmad had a decent game at Wolves. He's a tricky player. He can beat a player. So, you know, why not throw him on? Because Rashford was having a mare. And I think the only reason why Rashford was kept on was because of the penalties. Why not try him? Or even Van der Beek, a decent game against the Wolves. So I understand what people are saying, and their squad isn't particularly strong, but throw all the dice on and take a chance. And like I said, I'd rather have seen that happen and lose in 90 minutes or 120 minutes than just think he wasn't bold. And I think at times, you know, you've got to be bold.
Jesus, I would have taken Phil Jones coming on as a fucking sub and punting like Vidic. Just try something.
I think all round it, just like on and off the pitch, it simply wasn't good enough. I think, yeah, I don't know about Ollie. You know, at the end of the day, we always say you judge a manager over the league in 38 games, and he made us a second best team in the Premier League. No mean feat, I guess. But yeah, it was bitterly disappointing. And I don't think you'll ever get a better chance to win a trophy than that. And it really gutting. I have to say, like, it was going off a bit of a tangent, as I normally do go off a tangent. It was really lovely to watch it with a few Reds that we go to games and go to Euroways. It was really nice. I think it was the first time we'd been together watching a boozer. But I have to say, it was in a microbrewery. So my hate of the week is going to be, basically, you know, it was great to get together. There were a few other tables of Reds. In, you know, we sat at a little things on, and you said in the last one, and all Reds joined in. Good. Everyone, yeah. But microbrewers, I don't get it. It's like paying 5 or 6 quid for a pint of murky ale that is a sort of akin to what your granddad used to make in the airing cup in the 1970s. And the next day, like, you know, your gut is that you've lost. But I had to go to work the next day. I reckon I spent more time on the loo than I did on the computer. It was like dismal.
Nothing. And I
talked to Bob, that, you know, some of you know Bob that does the Eurovision and that. The weekend, and he said he had the taste of the beer in his mouth for like 2 days afterwards. He was scrubbing his teeth, he just couldn't get rid of it. So, yeah,
nothing.
So that's the taste of the week. Microbrewers,
nothing.
They're fucking micros.
Nothing to do. Nothing to do with at the end of the night, you were going, fuck them, fuck them, we'll be back, and then handing double amarettos to people. Most of them declined them, Shane, let's be honest.
I think, like, I settled up the next day with my bit of barkeeper, and a whole night in the bar paying for two, me and my son, was as much as that round of Emirato was the same price. And everyone was,
you'd,
like,
have been better off fucking off to the Gdansk and fucking,
yeah,
I mean,
everyone would have, everyone seemed to storm out, but you had a but microbrewers, what?
Yeah, I've got no work.
I just know that you haven't got many listeners or the members of Camera that sat there now.
Yeah, but I love my craft beer, but I will say I agree with Shane. Some of them give you a loopy head. I've got no willpower, so when someone declined it, I just thought, fuck it, I'm feeling pissed off enough as it is. So going to the pub when we did the last podcast was lovely. Something so simple. That's all I want. I don't want the fucking world. I just want to do simple things at going to a pub. it didn't. I'm going to go to Nick, and Nathan's joined us on the cricket. It made me laugh, though. The youngsters definitely need more than that, because when we were outside this lovely pub in Chilton, there were planes going over, and Nick and Nathan were guessing where the fuck these planes were going and then checking on Flight Tracker where these planes were going in the sky. And I just thought, they really need to start travelling, because they're going fucking under, these two. Right, so
can I just make a point there, Barney? You started this podcast by observing that two flies flew into a window this morning. So I think you're on dodgy ground there.
Right, Nick, have you come back into the bosom of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
I have to disagree with you by saying he's a big game bottler. I think that's a bold statement. I think
it's not meant to be. I'm not doing it. It's just how I felt the next morning, and I've slept on it, and it's gnawing away at me. I'm not getting a dig in. I'm not saying get rid of him. It's just a nagging thing I've had since the final. I'm not doing it. I've got to be honest to you, haven't I?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, and that's fine. I can see why you'd say it, but I still think that he's more a big decision bottler, is what I've described him as, really. I don't think he's brave enough to make big calls, and I don't want to keep going back to Fergie and keep comparing, because I know he's not Fergie. I'm well aware of that, but, you know, in an example, and I know it's a poor one, you'd still see Fergie make big decisions to drop players if they're out of form or whatever. I don't think he would have started Rashford, as I said to you last time when we saw each other. But, you know, I think he is a big decision bottler where, you know, he can get good results against good teams. You know, we went to City and I thought we were fantastic, for example, this season. You know, we beat Chelsea and things, you know, champions in Europe and that. So, you know, I know we can get results. It's just, it's that consistency against the smaller teams, as we keep saying. So it's still the big decisions to risk and go for it, not play too hard in the field as a home. And I just don't know if he's ever going to learn that. He's going to learn it from this Villarreal game. I just don't know where he's going to learn it from. So that's why I said I'm definitely wobbling on the Ole-ness at the moment. I just think it's that start of the season is going to depend on a lot. And obviously who we sign in the summer and making sure we can get a bare minimum of three top players as well at the start. So I think that's probably the main thing, is just we have to start that season well and get these players in. So it's just a wobble at this stage. But to see Shane as well wobbling, I mean, actually, at least I'm not on my own. I was panicking. I was on my own there for a little bit, but you know, I think the criticism's justified. You know, as I said to you, the game was there for the taking, and, you know, quite simply didn't take it, did it?
It's the worst. I mean, it's stating the bleeding obvious times a thousand. It's the worst possible. It's your last game of the season, last kick of the season. So you've got to stew on it, like when you lose the title, you know you're stewing on it. So it's the worst possible thing that could have happened for us. You know, it doesn't matter if United finished second, third, fourth. Didn't matter if you lost the last two league games. I get Nathan's point about momentum, but you lose that final, and all we're thinking about. And my angst and my nerves come back. The squad's taken us as far. I will to Nathan, but Nick, so come on, you know what? Sancho, you've been saying he will improve us, but it's not just about improving us, is it? Is he title changing?
I think you could sign any forward player in the world at the moment, and I think Lewandowski's the best player in the world, in my opinion, at the moment, if you ask me. But we could sign him and we wouldn't win a title because our back four's not good enough. Attackers win your games, you know, defence wins titles, doesn't it? That's what people always say. But I do think Sancho would close that gap in there. And again, obviously, you can sort the defence out and get him as well. He's the real deal. You know, admittedly, a lot of people seem to slag him off when he plays for England, but I don't watch England, so I can't comment if he's been crap or if he's been good or whatever for them. But, you know, when I watch him for Dortmund, he just cuts through players fantastically well. One of the things that I really am excited about with him, though, is that Cavani's going to love him. You know, you look at Erling Haaland at the moment, you know, similar sort of frame, big guy. He absolutely loves him. He'll be devastated to lose Sancho because he's a big contributor in his assist. Crossing, can beat a man and get a ball into the box. And it's something that we massively lack. And I think, you know, if we can do that and improve Cavani, I know he's old, he's not going to be able to play, you know, big demand again season with Europe and everything being congested. And Lord knows how it works with you know, with all the extra games and stuff. But I think that Cavani will absolutely love him. I think he's someone that will definitely get us points throughout the course of the season. And when you play these teams like Sheffield United at home, he's an extra person to have at least there. And the best thing for him is that he gives Rashford a break. You know, they can play in the same position. The best football I've seen from Sancho is always playing on the left-hand side, which is a worry. I don't think he's as good on the right as what he is on the left, so that's a bit of a concern. But other than that, you've got to get him. If you find a player that is going to improve you considerably, you've just got to go all out and get him, and especially when he's could have 10 years at the top of his game. It's just a no-brainer.
I'm not saying Rashford should pull out of England, but I do think he's overtired and he's at, you know, out of form. He's played so many games. Maybe the tournament will do him well and his confidence. But I think the Greenwood, and maybe fucking fuck knows, but maybe for Donny van de Beek, but for Greenwood especially, the him missing the tournament, you know, obviously he'd want to get against different type of opponents, but will be a massive boost, hopefully for us, that he gets fit. He has a rest up. I was actually... Oh, get in, Mason, you know, because we're going to need you at the start of next season. So I was massively like, yes, instead of coming on with the pressures and the stick, you know, we know all the England thing. Right, hello, Nathan. How was it going to a cricket match with people?
It was good. It was good. I'd already booked one for next month, but I didn't realise that there were still tickets for tonight. So we only booked it yesterday. I did invite Nick because Nick, one of Nick's greatest... pleasures I feel is pointing out when I don't invite him to things. So
I didn't fancy it, to be honest. I didn't fancy it.
But no, it was good. I went with a couple of mates, like one from work and that, and it was good.
Did you look at airplanes in the sky?
He was saying I'd quite like it to be at a quart capacity because it was just nice and spread out, and it was just nice and calm, and just it was good. I'm really, really like glad that we got to go.
Did you look at aeroplanes and guess where they're going, and then check them? Or were you?
Well, I didn't have to anymore. Although I saw that last night, Air Force One with Biden on it flew over Manchester, and I'm pretty good. I didn't see that actually.
You need a holiday. Seriously, Nathan.
Can I just say that comment really sums Nathan up for me. Everybody's desperate to get back into to sports, and he's happy with a quarter full stadium.
He wouldn't be saying that with a Sancho 90th minute winner at Anfield when we're throwing ourselves out.
But it felt...
It's fine, I don't mind it.
The cricket today, the England-New Zealand had... you know, a higher amount because it was a testing and it felt, you could tell the atmosphere. It just felt, I thought, God, and it's like, again, I can't even think about what's not going to happen, what's going to happen. But it just like, please don't take away. You start seeing crowds and it gives you hope. Well, yeah. I've got two things. Sorry, Nathan.
Based on what Nick was just saying about Sancho, I'm sure I've just seen walking on the way home that BBC have just put that we've had rejected for him. So I don't know if you mentioned that, but I've just
Haven't. That's way too technical and close to facts and reality for us to mention. But
apparently, 67 million.
But I love the fact that even though Ed Woodward's on his retirement little fucking accountant's gap year, that he's still underbidding by 23 million. Go on, Ed, don't change the habits of a lifetime. Dortmund want 90, we'll offer you 67. It's like I will get them down to the last bit, and you know we'll end up signing Josh King on transfer deadline day. Right, I've got two Shane Hates here. One, because we were away with my boy, we were staying up a little bit later. He got in and he loved the masked fucking dancer. Oh my God. The second thing, when we got back, we amalgamated loads of COVID trips. So all the ones that had been cancelled, we didn't know if people were going to buy, you know, stick with them, do it. We got a posh Champneys do through the missus's work. And people walk around in dressing gowns all day long. And it was all right. I enjoyed going swimming and that. But I saw a mate and they said, I said, I was really freaked out with dressing gowns. And they said, oh, yeah, because of COVID, you haven't. I said, no. Anyone dressed in a dressing gown in a hotel dangling around at 2 p.m. is not right. I just do not find that acceptable behaviour. What are you doing? Like, there's just people walking around in dressing gowns. That's not good. That's not normal. Right. So we've got to get onto the fans forum. Now, then you can talk about whatever you want. But I will say, thank God I wasn't on it. And thank God they didn't have Avram's ponytail just flicking at the back of the camera. Can you imagine? But it's hard because I'm never going to go on these things, and I'm never ever, if the club make any kind of introductions now, you know, we want to engage, I'm not doing it. You know, your boat sailed, as I've made the point, if you'd have done this at the end of 2004 when you were edging to it, 2005, too late for that. You haven't spoken to us for 16 years. The first thing you do, or we haven't even seen the minutes yet, but as you say, we're not doing anything about the debt and we're still taking our dividends. Oh, ooh, you know, yeah, massive change there then. So obviously I'm a cynical bastard, but you have to, someone has to engage and see where they're at. The devil is the detail of this share scheme, but I'm very, very sceptical how it can change. It won't take away their voting intentions. It won't take. It's almost like they'll be saying, oh, right, you fund the club, but you're the owners. That's what you should be fucking doing. So, but let's see. But for me, this is my overriding thought. We say there's 10 of us. There's 5 of us at the moment. 10. For this to carry forward, you need like 8 or 9 of us to agree and stick together and be united and momentum. Now, 2 of us could be, not me, but I'm saying 2 could be the ultimate, you know, we just want anarchy and everything to burn. There's people like me who don't trust them, will never trust them and don't want to talk to them. There's a couple of people in that 10 who would say, no, let's hear them out. The difficulty, and I don't, again, this is way above my pay grade, how you suddenly get from this point we're at to keep the 7 or 8 or 9 out of that 10 agreeing. But I've not learned anything new apart from they will want us to pay for what they should be doing is my, sadly, that's my overriding impression from it. And you waited 16 years. Nah, not for me. But they never were. So I'll go Shane.
Yeah, no, I feel the same, really. And I just want to emphasise that's not taken away. Like, I know a lot of people.
Yeah, of course. Rick and Ian have tried their hardest.
That's a thankless task. And I thank them for that. They, you know, you can't please everyone. You get grief on Twitter and that. So the thanks to them, you know, like for holding them, for trying to hold them to account, and obviously it's dialogue, so I guess that's positive to a degree. But yeah, it feels to me as though it's what usually been forced to speak to a fans representative group because of what happened at Liverpool games. Simple as that. But they wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for that and the backlash for the Super League. And then it feels like throwing a few crumbs, really. It's all kind of words, isn't it? And a few throwaway statements. And I think what you need to see is a tangible action. Even if they've done something symbolic but not sort of with longevity, they didn't even do that really, from what I can see. And so if they said we're going to go ahead with this ban to the stadium, or we're going to go ahead, you know, and I think the dividends, you hit it on the head, the dividends to me are kind of, obviously we're not stupid, we understand business, but a dividend is their way of putting money out, taking money out of the club basically, and one they've saddled with debt. And I think, you know, the fact that they're still doing that, and the fact that, from what I read and heard, they were kind of defending that, there's just no justification for it. They're doing absolutely nothing in return for, and then consultancy fees as well, doing absolutely nothing in return for those. So things like that. So I think probably a fan share scheme, what does that give us? I don't think it gives us anything from what I can see. And just getting the more tactical side of the thing, you know, we're one of the biggest football clubs in the world, if not the biggest, and, you know, season ticket renewals are up, they got a new ticket software. And you know, I had to email to an account, but locked, it took a week to respond. There's people online saying they can't get through, and there's automated messages saying, we'll call you back, and it takes a couple of days to call you back. This is supposedly the biggest club in the world, and that's not getting at the ticket office staff, it's getting at the fact that it's clear that we're scrimping around, and what is the biggest club in the world? It's really sad, really. And I think in the mag, really, just to plug the mag a little bit, I was reading earlier in the week that, you know, there was some really, like, the toe in the water article, as usual, was really objective. So, like, I'd say read that, really, it sums it up. And was it Mark Ogden you got to do a journalist perspective, and that was really objective as well. Both of those were quite sobering. And then there's that I really reconcile with the lad, David H, wrote an article, United Football and Me, which was more the kind of like impassioned side of things. And it just, yeah, you get a chance to read the mag, but that really, really summed it up for me. That's how I feel. And it was, it's quite sad to read, really, but very, very to the point. And I just think, you know, when you stand away from it, that the ownership that we've said all along with it is just absolutely rotten. It's rotten to the core. And I think there's no way out of it that other than really sort of like just going for it now and sort of just ruin the sponsorship. Don't let these crumbs appease us. Let's keep the protest going next season. And evidence, I don't want words. I don't even want to really want to see a bit down in minutes. I want to see some action.
But that's the thing, is they wouldn't have talked to us without people at the Liverpool game. And the fact, as I kept saying, it's time scales, because they're going to try and kick this in the grass and delay it as long as possible. Why are you only now talking about investment in the stadium? Why are you only now talking about investment at Carrington? Why are you only now wanting to engage? Why are you only now talking about it? You know, you just fobbed us off for all this time. The hard, you know, like the mag thing, what... The sadness and also love I had for this mag with people saying, you know, about family, community. And the purity is me walking with my boy across the forecourt and taking the picture from me then 46 years ago. But equally, that goes back to the last few podcasts, the addiction that I have, that I know, you know, what do I want to do? I want to take him in there and see a game. And I don't want his view of Old Trafford poisoned. You know, I wasn't telling him about fucking Avram Gaza's ponytail. I was talking to him about the heroes and describing the babes, because he wanted to know about the babes' tributes. And then he wanted to know who was everyone in the photo. So that, but it, that our United is not their United. But I almost feel like... It just gets me angry again. It gets me riled up, Coggy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to decry what the lads on the fans forum are doing, and there's some good lads who you've just mentioned that work hard for fans, to create an atmosphere or help fans out and everything. Overall, I thought what Glazer said was the biggest load of bollocks I've seen in a long time. He was making empty promises that we all know full well that they won't fulfil. You know, the bit of investment in the ground in Carrington and investment in the squad, that's coming out of the club's funds, of which we know, basically, after they've taken their dividend and we've paid the interest rate, isn't much. I just think it's typical. They sat down before the meeting and said, OK, let's... What do we give them to appease them for the 90 minutes that we're going to be on the Zoom call for? Somebody wrote down a list. I've got the 10 in front of me here now that somebody put on Twitter, I think it was. They gave them that, and they'll just walk off now and sunbathing on the Gulf Coast again. They couldn't give a shit.
The thought of Avram sunbathing just makes my skin crawl, so I got to stop mentioning his ponytail.
Yeah, in fairness, I said it, I wasn't visualising it, but you should visualise these things.
But the thing that gets me is...
He's trotting around some spa in a bathrobe, like you
The thing that gets me is if they were, you know, if they had actually any intention of appeasement, what they'd do is, you know, they'd be working with their banks and that and be going, you know what, we'll offer them just a token, we're going to pay off to bring the debt to 350 million, you know, because it will make it look... But they can't even be asked to do that. Well, they can't even be asked.
Barney, it was even easier than that because, if they turn in and said, we won't take any dividends for the next 3 years, I mean, that would buy, you know, Sancho, wouldn't it, or something like that. Even if they've done that, you know, we're not taking money out of their back pockets... they're just not getting money from us. Some people would have thought, well, at least that's a sign in the right direction and we'll move on from there. They couldn't even be asked to do that.
But then, but Coggy, leopards do not change this. But, you know, you do not suddenly have this Lazarus moment where Joel Glazer goes, oh, I get it. I get the fans. You know, you don't. You never... Nick?
Yeah, I agree. I was literally just going to make the point that Coggy just made there just by saying about, you know, just... The whole point with the dividends is you don't need to take them. They don't need the money for it in any way, shape or form. It would have been great if they committed to that at the very least. As you said, it would sign Sancho, probably sign a couple of players. which is obviously what we're short of really at the moment. I mean, it's progress. So I always want to try and remain a glass half full, and hopefully something does, at least however small, come of it, that's at least the start of a change. But at least it's an improvement, and at least they're willing to listen to us now because we forced them to. One of the things that I will add, though, this week is they have had to fork out for some new contracts at the other side of the Atlantic, if you've not seen.
Don't, please. This is not the moment.
Ed Woodward, the general manager, have got massive pay increases this season, which has come out of the Glazer pocket. So
we'll be paying for that then. But Nick, can I just, I'm not going to, you know, pick on you, but what progress? Right, but what progress, though? What progress have we got?
Well, I mean, at least it's a chat. You know, it's better than what we've had. You know, however small it is.
16 years.
I know it is, but as I say, I'm still trying to remain ever the optimist about it. It's just a shame, isn't it, really? You know, I don't think much will get done from it, but you've got to have some form of hope in it. That's what Man United's all about.
Well, that's, and I get what, you know, like that view would be the 2 out of 10 that agree with the other 6 or 7, and it's occupied so many moments of my thinking that's what I know. Sorry to mention it for a third time, but the beauty of just walking across that forecourt and thinking for a minute, I wasn't thinking of it. I was just glad the barricades were down. I was very glad that I wasn't, because I was really worried about that. I was really worried that he'd be going, what's this? You know, and the moment I've been looking forward to show this, still the emotion of that ground wasn't sullied by security fucking stopping people, you know, walking around so we could have a proper look round. But just Nathan?
That's part of what I was going to say. Like, I don't know if you, if there was a tweet going around last week or the week before. I don't know how this has only just been highlighted on Twitter, but someone had been passing through Old Trafford train station. Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
And essentially, someone had highlighted the fact that passing through Old Trafford train station, the ground looks shit.
Mm.
It looks horrific. And it feels like, I don't know how this has only just been highlighted, because it's been like that for years. Like that side, like the South Stand, particularly on the outside. But that was getting momentum, like people were sharing it. Like, how is this, the ground of the biggest team arguably in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's stuff like that. It's like there's rusting sheets of metal that realistically would cost tens of pounds to make look better.
Yeah.
But it never gets seen, does it? Unless you're on that bit, it never gets seen. No one sees it. I've never been on the train from that side. So like, I'd not seen it. It's like, it's things like that. If it's out of sight, it's out of mind. It's like, I know it's not out of sight, but the roof leaking, it's stuff like that. But they're so willing to pay however many thousands for those Berlin Wall-styled barricades because of what we did on that game. It's like they'll spend the money to stop people kicking off, but when there's a lick of paint that needs doing, they don't do shit, do they?
It's heartbreaking, you know, when you...
And the priorities are just all wrong, aren't they? It's just...
But it reminds you that the whole thing's, you know, broken, and I don't know how it'll pan out and whether things... But it's been broken a long time, and the effect is, you know, whether Ollie could have won us the Europa League final, but we're not winning titles, not just because of Ollie, as we've seen with previous managers, because of the scattergun transfer policy, again, but... We're just talking. We everyone, I presume, listening knows what we're trying to say, and everyone, this is nothing new. So, like one, you gave that, you know, it, and Ian and Rick really trying. So it's not. But I just thought, all he's done is spoke for. He's listened for 2 hours, and he spoke for 20 minutes on a Zoom call. Is that it? You've owned the club for 16 years. Is that it? Who are you kidding? But I don't want my blood pressure. I will say, Nick is really loath to bring up mention of the Euros. I'm sorry, Coggy, you got mentioned. But
yeah, can I just say, I understand about the 16 years and everything, but you know, you have to draw a line in the sand on that. They haven't communicated for 16 years, so in many ways it's pointless us going back and talking about it. The fact is that they did speak to us and had a chance to do something positive, and they still couldn't.
Yeah.
In the previous 16 years,
yeah,
they still could have said, we won't take dividends for the next 5 years or whatever the case may be. You say, well, for the debt. In their minds, that's never going to happen. So it doesn't matter what's happened the previous 16 years. They showed their attitude towards the club in those 20 minutes when they did speak.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Well, that's, and if this is, you know, if that was the start of something, I've got no hopes for it's actually,
exactly.
You know, eventually heading. And I've just had a moment. I feel almost guilty for saying about Ollie at the start. I so want him to succeed, but I've got to be honest. Right, so Nick's going to hate this bit, but my boy is just, something's clicked in the, like, with it, the sticker books, the players, the interest, fascination, and he's so excited for the Euros, Nick. So, I mean, literally, he, for the opening ceremony, I've said, you know, usually they have these prancy dancers doing shit stuff. They sometimes have fireworks. He's so giddy that please don't let COVID destroy it. And it's like fucking some UEFA twat just coming and shaking hands. Please do something, because he's so excited. So it's got me excited for it. Nick's looking so unimpressed.
I don't know why you're saying that about Nick, because he was picked up for me the other day about where we're going on Saturday. We'll be showing against Denmark. So
go on then, Nick.
Well, the message I put to you was sarcastically earlier this afternoon, was saying, what are we going to talk about on the podcast? Are we going to cover England and Croatia? It's a sarcastic message. But obviously WhatsApp doesn't pick up on sarcasm, and neither do you. So, no, I don't want to talk about England and Croatia. I hope they get stuffed. So that we'll leave that there. I'm buzzing for the Euros. I think it's great. I can just watch some football. I don't give a toss what happens. I hope all the Scousers get injured, and, you know, it's wonderful. I just hope we see some good football. That's all I'm bugging about. And hopefully, we maybe see a little bit of Sancho, but not too much that we've got to pay another $50 million on top of it.
Well,
Ed's
rate of offering a deal, I think, was it 60 million last year, 67? We'll get there in about
2034. Like with Wesley Snyder all
over. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, Nicholas Carrington or whatever.
Three games a day.
I like the it's brilliant. I like the international tournaments, Euros and World Cup, because it's exactly that for me. It's a big... It's football on the TV every day, but it's in a relaxed way. Have a barbecue, go for a couple of pints. You know, you don't get too hung up on the result. Doesn't affect the mood. So yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it. But, I'm with Albert on this one, Barney.
I am Shane, because plus, I mean, the added proviso, we've got fuck all really still else to do. So yeah. Give me 2 o'clock games with Iceland versus North Macedonia or whatever it is. Bring it on. You know.
I didn't even know it was starting this week. I have little interest in other football, let alone internationals. However...
Did you hear it on the wireless, Coggy?
You've had an interest in Wolves for the time I've been doing this podcast.
Have I mentioned Wolves tonight?
Yes.
You didn't even call Wolves, you called them the Wolves twice. I was waiting for an opportune moment.
Oh, listen, the lad who always has to add Tampa Bay into anything. Anyway... As you know, I migrated to Bolton many years ago, and I only realised that England were in the Euros when I saw those fucking flags that people have on the cars. Barney, don't tell me you've put that on for Albert. You've got fucking those little England flags. Either that or an EDL meeting's coming up. Why do people do that?
Albert has chosen what we've got, window stickers. He is... So
you got to embrace it for the young, like Albert.
No, I understand for Albert, but I mean, these are grown people, right? Yeah. Driving around in cars with England flags hanging out, little stick things over there. I mean, what's all that about?
You're not going to get in more car rage, are you, Coggy?
This sort of stuff, the Sky stuff on Twitter, the Minka Richards and Roy Keane little skits.
I've seen that.
They're going to go to Wembley. And I think Roy Keane had those flags off the car in no time.
I feel very disconcerted with Roy Keane being everywhere and doing stuff that he would have never, ever have done. It always unsettles me. I know he speaks when he's on one, but it just... It's like skulls. That's not what you were supposed to do, is it?
No, but money, like, yeah, we talk bollocks sitting here for an hour just for the fun of it. If someone's going to pay you $100,000 to talk bollocks,
but that's just to do it, and yeah. We've all said it. Just get him in the United dressing room. We're saying it needs someone on the bench. Not no, because he'd burn his bridges after 2 weeks. But just get in there for one game, just one game. Let some fucking home truths away.
Like you said about Van der Beek, I was actually, you know, that's the opposite, isn't it? I'm happy that Greenwood pulled out. I think Bashford burned himself into the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit like Michael Owen with River Plate, wasn't he? He's a youngster. I think Bashford's going the same way. He's clearly injured. But I think it's not. I don't think that's a good thing for United at all in playing in Europe, whether he has a good tournament or not. But Van der Beek needs a bit of confidence, needs a bit of game time. And the poor sod's like, you know. He's probably got a bad back from sitting on the bench for fucking.
But he would have only been sub, wouldn't he? So maybe. And the thing is, I think Rashford will go in for an op at the end of the Euros. So wherever, whether it's his ankle or his back, or whatever's been, or maybe it's a multiple thing. So we are going to possibly miss him for the start of the season. The thing is,
just going about Van der Beek, I mean, I think he would have been only a sub for Holland, but they have got to manage the play subs, haven't they?
Don't. Cocky. We've got to let this one go because the Europa's going to haunt us like fucking, it's Lady Macbeth, Europa League final, Villarreal, Seville.
I've just got Sky Sports News on the background here and they've actually got a whole fucking segment here about like a Premier League meeting and the headline is like there's a whole fucking meeting today about drawing the bar lines bigger, thicker, but offside. I'm thinking, These people live in a different world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what football is these days. Jesus Christ.
But I was watching one of the friendlies and they obviously didn't have VAR. And the commentators were like, we're VAR, you know, like it was almost like they were begging for it to come in to be involved. And you just thought, no, because the game was over in 93 minutes. It didn't fucking last another hour. It wasn't endless debates about fucking nasal hair. Which is a problem in older life, Coggy, will you agree? Nasal hair, bloody hell.
Well, it's okay for me, but funnily enough, my neighbour came over to do some work for me today. And not nasal hair, and he's younger than me, but, you know, but
I dare.
His ears.
Oh, yeah.
He looked fucking really... He looked revolting, but he's a tough bastard, so I daren't say anything to him in case he punched me. But I'm thinking, fucking hell, do you not look in the mirror?
You reach a certain age and it grows everywhere but where you want it. Right, we seriously, Nick and Nate.
I've got quite big ears, Coggy, and they seem to be like, I have to get the little Remington thing out on the ear hairs. Like,
where does life, Shane, get so fucked that you start asking for like nasal hair trimmers for Christmas? Where does that skewer? Where it's
tonight's podcast is sponsored by Robinson.
Right, Nick and Nathan, come on, youngsters, you need to take.
Aren't they one of our partners in crime?
Hang on, we've got to elbow them out. You youngsters need to fucking up our game here. This is like fucking a care home. we're just sitting talking absolute bollocks. Come on, Nick. You look.
I just still can't believe that you seem to think that I'm against the Euros, considering I went.
Sorry.
I went to the World Cup 3 years ago.
Sorry.
And I flew all the way to Kazakhstan to watch our under fucking nines. You know, I like football that much. I'm definitely going to be on the front row. I'm going to be. Can't wait. I've got it that I'm missing Wales Switzerland on Saturday. I'm panicking already. It's day two and I'm missing a game.
Nathan's actually going to a match.
Yeah, I'm going on. So. I'm watching England on Sunday and then straight from there I'm getting the train up to Glasgow and I'm going to Scotland, Czech Republic on Monday.
For work?
So that'd be good.
McTominay, you can get
I
up.
I don't care.
You can
it's
get
for work, it don't count.
Up close with Scotty.
Oh, well, I'm working, as long as no one from the company that I work for are listening, I'll be working for a bit before and then... I'm not working as soon as the game starts.
No, you are. You've got, just in case anyone is, you are working very solid and you won't be drinking alcohol.
You'll be getting some pictures of Scott McTominay's pearly white teeth, won't you? Scoring the winner, 90th minute.
Anyway, I just want to say that I have have looked at the teams, because you did say we'll talk about the Euros, and I think because there's so many Wolves players in Portugal to win it.
I liked Michael Owen. Michael Owen consistently boring, just going, I've studied the teams, and he just went with the three favourites. Brilliant, Michael. And I've researched the squad. I'm going.
I'll be picking Austria this Euros, considering I've not drawn them out in just one sweepstake. I've drawn them out in the both sweepstakes that I've done. So I'm well up for Austria. But speaking of players, I did send you that link to Marcel Sabitzer, who's available for a rumoured of 15 million. He'd be a cracking signing for us. If anyone watches the Bundesliga, you'll know all about him. He's a top player. So if Austria are on, stick him on. He's a great footballer. If we can get 15 million, what we pay for Dan James, he'd be an absolute steal. He'd be perfect for a replacement. Wijnaldum's gone to PSG, I think, today from Liverpool. So wonderful for us as well.
Well, we've got the best footballing scouting database in the world, Nick. So send them an email. Tell them. Yeah. Come on.
Well, maybe they can employ me. And I'll seem like I'm better than that football fucking database. Jesus Christ.
I'm going Sweden for an each way bet. Not that I bet anymore. And then I think England could do it. I do. I think if Harry Kane scores 6 or 7 goals, they're in the semis. And he's...
But Panama aren't in the Euro. He can't score Golden Boot when he goals it. You know, he can't get 9 penalties against Panama and then a deflected goal that bounced off.
Honestly, that was one of the... Me and Nick were both for that game in... Where was it? Nizhny Novgorod.
That's easy for you to say.
In, like, the middle of nowhere in Russia. We didn't go together, but we still...
Had your moment
at half time, and it was glorious. It was
another red news picture. I brought it like a movie and everything. I got all the way there for it.
Do you know something? That sounded so romantic.
Do you know the best thing is that the best part of it was that it's got Mourinho's face on the front of the red news. Mag and Nathan's holding it up. Classic Mourinho fan.
Nothing's perfect.
You didn't travel together, but you got together at half time.
I loved the way that Jose rewrote history yesterday by saying he won the Europa and finished second and got a dig in at Ollie, and he didn't even finish second that season. I mean, Jose interviewed by James Corden, there is a Guantanamo Bay booth for you right there.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, he's been... I saw the clip and I just thought... James Corden literally is everywhere, isn't he? If he's interviewing Jose Mourinho, you are literally everywhere.
That was the thing, actually. I kind of, like, it'd probably be unpopular again, but my wife was big into Friends, and that reunion thing come on, so I walked out the room when it come, like, I thought, I'm not having this. And then, like, you know, and James Corden sort of went into it, so he was, and then the next time I meet James Corden, he's interviewing Mourinho, it's obviously rehearsed, he's leading him into Mourinho, saying now everyone's against him, because... He basically, the words he used was, Ole's obviously got a better press team than he had.
Yes.
Except for him, Mourinho achieved second and won the Europa League. It was a failure. So
I actually watched that Friends thing, and I tell you what was nice about it. They all travelled separately, but ended up together.
I will say, we need United back, because we've talked some utter bollocks. But I will say, we've got the bingo in. Nick's mentioned NFL, Coggy's mentioned Wolves, and I've got Jose in. So we've clicked full.
I didn't mention Wolves until he bloody...
No, you listen at the start, Coggy. You brought it in early. You don't even know you're mentioning them anymore. Right.
I'm going to listen to this podcast. I don't normally listen to it, but I'm going to listen to it to see when I mention Wolves for the first time.
We still...
If you want to see, like, just as we talk about the Glazers taking money out, it's clear they have, but Igalo, I know he was a nice lad, but I'm going to go back to him again. If you follow him on Instagram, the feather's just on one big beano. He's just always by a pool with a cocktail or something for a flash car.
He can't be as offensive as Bastian Schweinsteiger's one. Seriously, the other week he was posing in front of his fire, and I felt like I could launch him in it. Bastian, let it go, mate. Right, we won't do a who he's going to win it because it's not United. But let's do. We'll come back in a week, or let's do the highlights and whatever of the season, so we can keep talking shit. Right, cheers, lads.
Cheers.
Have a good night. See you later. Thank you.
Cheers.
Take care, everyone.